What we're going to try to look at, I was going to do it, but I thought of it at what you're looking at, that little picture I gave you. I said, when I'm doing all that, how many of you can picture what I'm trying to say as we go from all these different positions? And I know they just, it's very hard to do. And for those of you who already have this, in other words, I could turn this upside down. I don't need this. I have this in my head, my little head. And those of you who have it in your little head, you don't need it either. But for the rest of us, and that includes me again, I hope it helps. So in the process, we've looked at the mysteries a little bit. And the mysteries, as we looked at them, give us a wonderful, simple, clear understanding of what our assignment is. We're to be stewards of the mysteries of God, and we're to be found faithful. So in our stewardship, all those mysteries, godliness and lawlessness, and all of them are there. Mystery of the gospel. We did all these. You may not have realized it, but if you absorbed any of that, it isn't hard. It's wonderfully simple. To help you understand, God wants you to understand your assignment, which we remind ourselves. So, in the process, looking in, if your little sheet here, over in the upper right corner, upper right, left, right, up. I drew a little sketch, and I put God, G-O-D, and then I put a little dot in the middle of God. Now, what is the dot? Genesis 1:1, God created. Now, when God created something, and it is started, Revelation 21, a new heavens and a new earth, God's going to be finished with it. Right now, we're sitting with all those trillions of galaxies and everything, all of that is destined to be gone. Everything is gone. And here, so that all that we're doing right now as we spin, as the whole universe spins around, all of that is going to disappear. And where is it? It's right smack in the middle of God. So you got to have that concept. So when you're looking at everything, everything is centered in a little, it's huge to us. It's a dot to God, a dot. Now, secondly, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, and you want to add another piece of information. Chapter 4, verse 10, if I can. Just going straightway to the, in the light of the context, just to get the point. Verse 10, chapter 4, Ephesians. He that descended, is the same. This is our Lord, his death. He goes, after he crucified, he goes down to paradise where Abraham and all Isaac and all of them are waiting, and he empties paradise and takes them to heaven. They can't go to heaven until he's resurrected. And he takes them up. Chapter 4, in verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He is above all heavens. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. He's above them all. Like the circle. He's above them all. That's what you want to understand. He's above them all. Now, having said that little bit, and then you'll note the kingdom of God in the first outer circle. And the kingdom of God has to do with his rightful rule. And everything is in and under his rightful rule. Now, all of creation, Genesis 1:1, all the way, everything, angels and all, they're all under his rightful rule. So, and that rightful rule, God, Genesis 1:1, angels, and then Genesis 1:1, and you slide along through history. And then you come to the 400 years, where for 400 years, Malachi, and 400 years before there's another prophet, and that prophet is called John the Baptist. 400 years, and then the next prophet, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, our Lord will say it, he's the bestest, he's the top one. He has the most prestigious assignment, and that is to point to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. His assignment is to point to the Lord, to point to him. There's the Lamb of God. He has an awesome assignment, but he's not part of the church. No, he's not part of the church. He's the last Old Testament prophet, and he dies, goes to paradise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, having said that now, keeping that in mind, over to the Gospel of Matthew, as you would see and guess, you know all these things. And my little problem in my little head is that we did this whole section, and we were doing it in 2022. That's 4 years ago. I assume you got all this information. But I'm just looking at this because it has to tie in to the mysteries that we just did. The mysteries we just did need these mysteries to put it together. So just, but I'll do a little bit, maybe, even this little. Matthew and chapter 3, as you would probably know as you're already there, and you're looking at John the Baptist's ministry. And in John the Baptist, chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his ministry, his special, wonderful ministry, to point the Lord, the King was there, and the King needed to be received. And therefore, he needed to repent. That's what they needed to do. Chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. John the Baptist is in prison. So John's put aside. And our Lord takes over his ministry. And from that time, chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He takes the same message and brings them. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's very near, right in front of you. And therefore you need to repent. Repent. Christ is right here. Repent. And that's why John the Baptist's ministry was a baptism, not like Christian baptism. No, it's a baptism unto repentance. John the Baptist's ministry, unto repentance. That's what he preached. Repent. And that's what John did. That's what he did. Now, having said that, so that's that. In the big circle, you go to the inner circle. And you'll notice there's three sections to it. And the first section has to do with John the Baptist's ministry, because that's when the kingdom of heaven really commences. And you go all the way into the kingdom, into the tribulation. Now, so here's the kingdom of heaven divided up into three sections. The first section was John the Baptist. They had to go and repent. That's what they had to do. And in the process, they didn't repent. What did they do? They crucified Christ. That's what they did. They didn't repent. Now that puts another thing out, as we did all this in the mysteries. And that's the reason. They didn't repent. They crucified him. That's what they did. And that gives you a whole nother window called the time, the dispensation of grace. Here we are, representing our Lord Jesus Christ, as you'll be reminded. So, and here's Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 comes in and tells us all of these mysteries, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so in the process of all of that, looking at all of those things, in the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom, you can look at it, say you want to see it if you want. Chapter 13, picking up, please, if I can, picking up verse 11, 13, 11, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Their rejection. So here we got all these mysteries that we just looked at. We're custodians, we're stewards, we're to understand them and understand the world doesn't want to know them. But we do. Hang on to that. Now, in the process. And so therefore, God is going to help them. And I'm going to get that in a second now, having said that, and keeping that in mind. If I can, so there's no repentance. Now, in chapter 11, you'll note, if I may, in the process. See, remember, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus were preaching the repentance, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right in front of you. Here's the king. And he can do everything you need if you receive the king. They reject the king. Now, in rejecting the king, so therefore, in the Gospel of Matthew, that's what God is, what are you doing with Matthew? He's helping us understand why the Jews want. Romans chapter 11, the mystery of Israel. Israel's awesome mystery, chapter 11, 25, 26, the mystery of Israel, the unbelief of Israel. Israel is to be put aside, like the tissue. I have it, but I put it aside. Israel is to put aside out here. Now, and having said that, so that chapter 11 slides us right along as we should be going. And therefore, we go to chapter 11, and you'll remember, picking up verse 15, remember, God keeps reminding you, as you're reading, pay attention to what you read. Pay attention. He that hath ears to hear, Let him hear. Are you absorbing what I'm trying to tell you? Hang on. And I'll jump ahead here, way ahead. Why are we doing this? We are privileged to sit at headquarters. Remember the little big God's rule, the kingdom of God rules. This whole thing, everything, you and I are seated in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in God, right now. We are at headquarters where all of history has to be worked out into eternity. And we're sitting there just like you could if you were with Iran and all of that that's happening. And we aren't sitting there with the generals and the planning. But if you could be, you'd be knowing what they're reading, all the different information coming in. We don't get that. All the information coming in, how to do what, when, where. And we're sitting with them, with God, who's calling the shots. So you understand, it's an awesome position. God is helping us. Helping us. You know from John 15, don't you? Remember that. John 15. What's John 15? John 15, verse 15. Hold your finger right here. Don't lose Matthew. John chapter 15. And you'll note, John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man. 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We are privileged to be seated in Christ Jesus, in Christ, at the throne of God, as all of this is taking place. And God has given us his word to understand what's going on, so that we know what's going on, you see. Now, back over to Matthew chapter 11, if I can. And in Matthew chapter 11, going to verse 15, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. But whereto shall I liken this generation? Right now that he's looking, the Lord's looking out at him. Hang on. But wherein, wherewithal shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children, sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. They're sitting there, totally oblivious to what's happening, and they're playing weddings and funerals, playing little games, and they want to know how come you don't join them. Why don't you join us as we sit here and have fun? What didn't they know? What were they doing? Verse 18. Why weren't you there, John? But John came, 18. John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath a devil. You guys don't want John. John isn't going to sit down with you, and you aren't paying attention to what John is trying to tell you to repent. Verse 19, not only are you rejecting John the Baptist, you're rejecting who he's pointing to, the King of Kings. Verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold the man, gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified in her children. So, no one's paying attention. No one's paying attention. John the Baptist is preaching repentance. The Lord preaching repentance. They aren't doing anything. Okay, so down in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because, and then you underline it in your mind, they repented not. What is John and them doing? Repentance. Change everything. Get it on the right course. They weren't doing that. And therefore, our Lord, they aren't believing John the Baptist. They aren't believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. They would have repented, Tyre and all of that. Think of Jonah and all of that. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, thou art exalted into heaven. Thou art exalted in heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Sodom would have repented. You had everything going for you, and you didn't change a thing. Therefore, verse 24, but I say unto you, that it will be more tolerable for the day, land of Sodom, in the day of judgment, than for thee. And now what are you going to do? God's going to give a word of hope, a word of expectancy. And thus you have chapter 11, picking up, please, verse 28. Well, I read verse 27, because it's good. All things were delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All I want you to do is repent and get your act right and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I told you, learn of me. I'm a king. But you don't want to. You reject the king. You're going to crucify the king. I told you, you could learn. That God, in the midst of all his thunderous judgment, he reaches out and said, but I don't want to have to judge you. Why don't you just learn of me? But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So we come to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, no repentance, as we did in chapter 12. So sliding along. And as you go through chapter 12, just saving all of that, and go over, if we can, in chapter 12 to verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now remember, they wanted to see. They wanted to, God's, anyway, hang on. But verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, and evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now we do this often to remind yourself, you are the only sign God is going to give to the world. The believing heart, that's the only sign he's going to give. And the believing heart is in flesh and blood, to walk in newness of life, to be a new creature in Christ, Now, hang on. So, that's a sign, the only sign I'm going to give him. And now, chapter 11, thunderous judgment, woe unto you, Chorazin. Now, but if you would just learn of me, take my yoke upon you. Now, having said, the only sign I'm going to give this unbelieving world, the only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, having going, hang on to that, and just slide down. And they came. They came, sliding in the context, sliding down. And then he's doing what he's doing, you know, teaching. And verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren are without, desiring to speak to thee. And you know they're trying to get him to shut up and not be embarrassing, to get him out of the way. They weren't ready, saved yet. He embarrasses us. Yeah. Now, so therefore in chapter 12, and so in, if I can, verse 49. So our Lord, remember the very positive, wonderful thing in the end of chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, the very positive thing, after pointing around, here's this room full of people, house full of people. Here's this, his mother and steps, his stepsister, whatever, his brother and his brothers and sisters. They're there, and they're outside. Now, and therefore, verse 49, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, not to his parents, not to Mary, not to his brother, his half-brothers and sisters. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And that was, I told you that, awesome, when we did Matthew different times. Remember that? He just swings his hand around. Here's the head they all around the rooms, little people. These are my disciples. This is my family. This is my family. Verse 50. For whomsoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. They are. That's my family. My family isn't out there. My family is right in here. That's where my family is. The believing believers, in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and the only sign. So God, you're going to go and do what you do. Now, when he ends in the house, verse 50, you're the same as my mother, my brother, and sister and mother. Sliding down in one little sentence, just jump a half an inch. The same day, at the same time he does that, he then what? Jesus went, then the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea side. And now he begins Matthew chapter 13, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he begins them. He's going to help them. They're all there. They've been rejecting him. And he's going to try to help them. They're going to crucify him. Now he's going to go and give them a hand. He's going to say, listen, what you need to know is what's happening, and you're part of the outworking of history. You're part of it. It was never understood, never even comprehended, what I'm going to do when I save whosoever's and place them in my body, the church, to demonstrate my saving grace. The unheard of, God in the heart, God putting us in Christ, and in Christ in God, and we're seated in heavenly places, and we are at headquarters And we're, our little hearts sitting here are to have an understanding of what's happening forever, how it's all working out. We sit here and we know the answers. We know how it's going. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. We don't have to do anything. I would like to know what's going to happen to Iran, but I don't. But I do know all that's going to happen after Iran. I know what's going to happen. I can't do, I don't need to do anything. God's doing it. God's going to do what he's going to do. And we're sitting there, privileged to know what he's going to do. So there's no guess. We know what he's going to do. So, having said that, little bit, and so in that same day, that same time, that same day, and thus they're going to have ears to hear in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Chapter 11, and in verse 15, we shed ears to hear, and here in chapter 13, etc., God is going to go, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed. The people I'm going to give, what I'm going to talk to, I'm going to tell them what's going to happen, but I'm going to use parables. Side, taking something in life and putting it next to a truth so that you can use it. The sower sows seed, and the sower sows plants to grow the harvest in the summer, and they go together. Parables, to take something that we know, that we understand, and slide it up to something we may not understand to help us understand. I'm going to give them parables. I'm not going to tell them what they mean. They're just going to get them because they don't want to know. But I'm going to say, I did tell you how to get there. I gave you the parables to understand. But you didn't want them. And thus you never understood. Blessed are your eyes, Peter, James, and John. For you don't want to understand. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. For you want to understand. To what? To know. You know. Hold your finger here again. And go over with me to Revelation. And in Revelation, if I may, picking up in chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Chapter 1. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, what are we to understand? What are we to know in God's wonderful way? The book of Revelation, remember, we remind you to, and myself, chapter 1, the book of Revelation is given to the servants. The word servants is the word slaves. Slaves, love slaves, bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book of Revelation isn't written for everybody. It's written for God's servants that are serving and outworking the will of God. That's why the book of Revelation gets slaughtered by people. All gets, who knows what they're saying, what they do. But you aren't going to get it unless you're a servant, slave. I gave you the book of Revelation so what? You'd comfortably be able to understand how it's going to go. That's the revelation. Now, in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Just like John the Baptist, repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Revelation. It's all of it's headed to work itself out. We're in the last days, the last time. All of it has to be worked out in a most wonderful way. So now, therefore, blessed. So you say, I want to be encourage the heart of the people. Well, the heart of the people need to understand to be encouraged. And you don't need to have nice, trust God today, he'll help. Pray to God and trust him. Now, that's good, that's right. But you need to know that you're in headquarters, that you're in the middle of it. You're smack dab in the middle of this thing. And it's wonderful. And you're sitting there, hang on. Not only are you sitting there at headquarters, but the commander, the general is in your heart. And you're on the battlefield. The same time we're seated at headquarters, at the same moment, the general and I are on the battlefield. The war's on. The war's on. 1 John 4:4. Don't worry about everything. You're able to overcome. Why can we overcome? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here we are on the battlefield, at the same time seated, where all of it's taking place, and it's all going to be exactly as God says. That's what's wherever it's headed. That's what I'm keep looking and waiting to see. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, back over to Matthew. Oh, and I got to add, I didn't mean to leave you a sketch. Remember, here's your little sketch with the three compartments in the middle. And you have the John the Baptist, the first section. The middle section is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the third section is the thousand-year kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So, now, but in the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, what do we know? What do we know that's in the middle of that mysteries, as we're going to see? The wheat and the tares, et cetera, et cetera. What are you going to know in the middle of the mystery? God, the kingdom of darkness, the Antichrist, the lawlessness. Now, back, you're in Matthew. Go over to Matthew and chapter 4. Matthew and chapter 4. And you'll remember. And in Matthew in chapter 4, and you know it from Luke, etc. Matthew chapter 4, the Lord was tempted by the devil 40 days and nights to show that he was the right one to go to the cross, the sinless Son of God. Now, chapter 4, and here's the test. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. From falling, jumping off. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's all I want. All the kingdoms of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, they gave up their privileged position of having to be the boss. And who took over? The devil took over. The kingdoms, all of Genesis chapter 9, all the way down through history, Daniel 9, 2, 7, all of history is what? He's the boss. He's the God of this world. He's in charge. He's in charge of Washington and Egypt and Israel and Iran. All of it's taking place. Our own country. It's all there. He's the boss. He's the boss. And thus the kingdom of darkness. That's what makes the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven so interesting. You have light and darkness. And the light, darkness cannot put out the light. no matter how much dark, no matter how much persecution against it, because what are we doing? We're here. We're here on the battlefield. We're overcomers. Overcomers. But God's seeking to save whosoever's. That's what he's doing. And therefore, we aren't giants sitting there, up there holding everything. No, no. Romans 8, 36 and that. We're sheep for the slaughter. That's what we are. God puts us out there, sheep, not as lions and giants, no, as sheep for the slaughter. What for? Because Christ said, do you know, I gave 3 1/3 years, 24 hours a day, I gave them light, but they chose darkness, and they crucified me. They were trying to kill me all the time for 3 1/3 years. They tried to kill me. I'm going to leave you in the world like me. As my Father sent me, so sent I you. I'm going to send you like me. I was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. I send you as sheep in the midst of the wolves. There you go. And they're going to do what they do to you. Persecute. They don't like, they don't want to hear a message of light and right. They don't want to hear that. Don't want to know it. No, they don't want that message. But, you know what? They're going to go and reject it. They're going to do what they did to me. And that's why our Lord said in John 16, don't be surprised. If they did it to me, they're surely going to do it to you. So don't be surprised. They don't want to hear light. But you know what? All the darkness. You crucified him. You beat him, our Lord. But you never put out the light. So no matter what you did to Matthew chapter 10, no matter what you do to the body, you can't put out the light. So you beat the light, beat the body, do everything. But you can't shut out. You can't stop. Our Lord Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can't touch it. You have a wonderful relationship to God. And you're working out of heaven. And the generals in your heart, it would just be, I tried to think of a thing like that. I was thinking of George Washington as first president. And if I was a good cook or a good polisher of shoes or something, I could have been his man, and I'd be in the boat crossing with him. I'd be in the middle of the night on the river doing all those things when they're all cold. I'd be there with him. Yeah, I'm not General Washington, no, but I'm there. Our Lord. Has given us, taken our body and founded his home, his temple, so that what? He can be as the only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of my life, which has become your life. And that's the only sign I'm going to give him. So they're going to see that. And that's what I want you to know. And you know what? They don't like it any more in you than they did when God was in me. They don't like it anymore whatsoever. And they're going to do the same thing. But you know what? They can't really do a thing. So therefore, chapter Romans 8 and verse 37. You're more than a conqueror. No one can touch you. You're a winner. They could stand and beat you up and cut you to ribbons. But they can't take away your wonderful relationship to me. You're going to win. All they're doing is, they crucified him. But you know what? All they did is amplify his winning. He's going to win. He has to win. He's God. He's light. Darkness has no place in where light is. So in the process, the devil, the god of this world, in darkness, his kingdom, Revelation 16, his kingdom of darkness. We love darkness rather than light, our world system. We hate it. But that's right smack dab in the middle of that little circle you got. Mystery of godliness, mystery, the mysteries. There's the light and grace, and in the midst of it is lawlessness and apostasy. Wow. And there it is, all bumbling around. And God's going to help them. That's why Matthew 13 is to help you understand, how does this all work out? It's different than the mysteries we just looked at. The mysteries we looked at prepare us to be able to go through the journey of being good stewards of the mysteries. In the light, good steward of the mysteries. In the light of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In the light of how it works out, Revelation, Matthew 13 and all of that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, so therefore, looking to God, so there, what are we doing now? God knows the plan, he has a wonderful plan, and God's going to do what he's going to do. And you and I are privileged to know the plan. We don't know the world working of it. We don't call the shots, but we're there. We're there as God decides when and where to do what and how to do it, which is already decided by God. And therefore, here we are. God is finding a home in us to bring us the outworking of his wonderful will. So God, you're going to go and outwork. So I'm going to do what? God, you're going to go and help me. Help me understand. It's a good warfare, 1 Timothy. It's a good warfare. And therefore, war the good warfare. Armor, put on the whole, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. That's how you get Ephesians in the heavenlies. But all of a sudden, you're in the heavenlies. Yes, you are. Seek those things which are above. But at the same breath, you're in this body, wrestling against flesh and blood, against the darkness and the rulers of this world. You're having to face them. That's right. But God is there in us. Christ is there. He said, don't mind it. They aren't after you. They're after Christ in you. That's the problem. You and I, if we could put Christ aside, we're just darkness like they are. We got the same old sin nature as they do. We're no different. But if I understand and honor Christ, abide and dwell and understand my relationship, I'm looking to God to outwork his wonderful will in his most wonderful way. So therefore, I'm on the battlefield. I am in the battlefield. I have to live in this body just like you do, your bodies. And we have to go through what we go through. But it's all right. It's all right. We know. We already know. We already know what? We already know. We're at headquarters. What do you know because you're at headquarters? Revelation 21, 22. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly, gentlemen. I'm coming quickly. That's what I know. But I'm sitting in headquarters listening. He said, I'm coming quickly. I got it. I don't know when he's coming. He said, quickly. He doesn't go by a clock. He doesn't go by a clock. Just has to go by what he's going to do when he does it in a most wonderful way. So therefore, as we look to God, darkness. And the darkness isn't going to go away. And the problems aren't going to go away because you have, as your little sheet shows you, I hope, just to help out a little bit. And do it. And I'll read the last little sentence I wrote. The mysteries, and the light of the mysteries of which the believing heart is to be a steward, faithful in all God's faithfulness. That's what we're to doing. I'm smack dab in the middle of this, and so are you. That's awesome. I think it's awesome. Yeah.